Mothers and Children's Church are ready to leave now. Well, we're blessed with children, and we're so thankful. So thankful for what the Lord's doing. Well, we're continuing in our study in the book of James. Love the book of James. Very practical. I don't know about you, but I'm a very practical person. And I love when he gets down on my level and just lays it out. This is the way that it is. And so I was thinking this week it's called Playing Favorites. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. We had some friends that are in live in Laurel, Mississippi. Some of you guys, Richard and Gina Hedrick. Does anybody know Richard and Gina? They're the ones that gave us the sign out here. He's got long gray hair. He'll wear it in a ponytail. Very, very special and unique people. We actually got to go to Vietnam with them twice, traveled over to do mission work, and that's how we became friends. But they have a unique ministry that they do. Now listen, they're worth millions, okay? God has blessed them financially, and so they're worth millions. And here's what they do. The preachers will invite them to come, and he'll put his hair down and get it all greasy looking, and he'll put an old jacket on, and he'll put on rags, and he'll actually go, her and him, she's a little bit more difficult because she's like a little mini beauty queen, so she has to do all kinds of things to make herself look like a bum. But he does it pretty easy, you know? But now what they'll do, and you know what? They'll go to churches, and they'll lay outside the church on the front steps or wherever, and they'll spend the night there. They'll spend the night on the front steps of the porch or wherever they are at the church, and the people don't know that he's the main speaker the next Sunday morning. They'll do it on Saturday night. And what will happen is, he said that you'd be surprised at how he's treated at the door of the church. He said, you don't know how many deacons and people will come, and they'll say, listen, we start in 15 minutes. You need to get out of here. I'm serious. Now, think about that a minute. Think about that a minute. And then what he'll do, and there have actually been, in fact, when I went to Southeastern Seminary, there were actually students there that he had paid their whole tuition because they were willing to stop there and just said, here, let me get you something to drink. Young people. Let me get you something to eat. Let me take you somewhere and let us feed you. And little did they know who it was that they were helping. I can't help but when I think about what Jesus' word said, when you've done it for the least one of these, my brethren, you've what? Done it unto me. But here's the deal. The next morning, Sunday morning, he walks through, look, and then he takes off his bum clothes and he's got his suit on and he comes up into the pulpit and he says, let me tell you how you treated me as a homeless person. He actually wrote a book called America's Churches Through the Eyes of a Bum. Got that book on my shelf. So just the thought about how we treat people, and I want us to think about that. It's very important this time of year, isn't it? That Christmas time seems like we're a little softer and we reach out. We should be that way all the way. By the way, Christmas is not just a day we celebrate. It's a season and a lifestyle. Jesus has come, and he's come for all men. Praise God today for that. And I want us to think about playing favorites. And James is going to address that this morning. He's going to give us four principles that will help us when it comes to playing favorites. Now, I know you guys don't play favorites. That's one thing I can say about this church is we're very loving. We accept people for who they are, not where they are socially, not where they are racially, none of those things. And I like that about you. But you know, we can always work on those things. We can always work on being a more like Christ-like and reaching our community and those that come here. If you come here and you don't feel welcome, please let me know. Please let me know, because that's one of the things I do. I tell people, I tell you what, you come on out and visit South Fork. If you don't have a church home, I don't want to steal anybody from a church, right? It's not about flock hopping. It's about finding a church home, right, where you're at. But I say, here's the deal. If you don't feel welcome, you don't have to come back. That's how confident I am in you guys in reaching out and loving people. I'm that confident. But you know, James is letting us know that we all play favorites if we're not careful. And we're going to look at that this morning. Now, it's four principles that can help us from being that type of person. First, I want us to look at seeing others through man's motives. And I tell you what, before we get started, let's stand on our feet. Read the scripture. I won't read but one because we're going 1 through 13. I won't make you stand that long, but let's stand to our feet. James chapter 2, verse 1. James chapter 2 and verse 1, and let's read this. It says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." Let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. I just pray for a few moments, God, that you'll come. I already sense your presence. I already feel you here. I pray in Jesus' name that you will touch us and be right where we are. Show us what it is you're trying to teach us. Hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth in Christ's name. Amen. I see that this is James. That's last week's lesson. We're actually on a new one today. 2, 1 through 13 is what we'll be looking at. Sam, you can sit down now, honey. Guilty! Nah. Thank you. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. But thank you so much. Listen, she does a great job. She's the one that, look, she writes all my sermons, and I don't think she don't look, nah, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But we're playing favorites. We're in James chapter 2. We come in, you remember, we've come through chapter 1, and man, he's hit us here and hit us there, the test of how we handle faith, how we handle God's Word. He had us looking in God's Word, what do we see? And then we finished up last week with pure and undefiled religion. This is what true religion looks like to God, and it's helping, remember, widows and orphans in their distress, and then keeping ourselves from polluted from the world. And then we come into this sequence of where he is in chapter 2, and he's talking about partiality. And if you see, this is one thing, seeing others through man's motives. Now, we see people differently than God does. I'm glad he doesn't see the way we do. And let's look at James chapter 1, and we'll go through our chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" So looking at seeing others through man's motives, I want us to first look at verse 1, shows us the standard. The standard says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." This is the standard that we are to live by. The Lord's standard. He said, when you think about God and the characteristics and his attributes, think about what we think about. We think about his love, his grace. We think about his power, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience. He knows everything. But one thing that we probably don't do is we don't think about his impartiality. He's an impartial God. He doesn't look at one group of people and think that they're better than anybody else. Aren't you glad for that today? So glad for that. You know, we're often put off by people's prestige, their status, their education. These things sometimes can put us off and we can feel uncomfortable. Aren't you glad that doesn't mean anything to God? He doesn't see people in that way. He's impartial. It doesn't mean anything to him how rich you are, how poor you are, what color your skin is. He's God. I'm so glad for that. Our standards should be the same. We should treat people as Jesus would treat them. We'll work that out a little bit more. We should use God's standards, not man's standards, to see people. Well, not only does he give us the standard, verse 1, but then he gives an illustration about man's motives. Look what he says in 2 through 3. "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand here or sit here at my footstool.'" He's given us an illustration about how we treat others. We've got to be very careful about looking at people as how they're dressed or how they look. It's very easy. We all do that, by the way. Do we not? We all do that. If we're not careful, we stereotype people. If you saw Richard, remember, as the bum, you would see him out and tell him he looks just like a bum, don't he, honey? When he does it, it's like somebody that's just homeless and don't have these things. And when you see him, you stereotype those people. You see people with, if they have tattoos, they have sleeves, you do that. If we're not careful, we put them in a category. And we use how they look on the outside as the most important thing. I'm going to tell you, it should not be that way.
And James is saying, you know, this church was poor, by the way. They were going through a great famine. The church that James was addressing, and he's addressing church people. He keeps saying, brethren, brethren. He's addressing the church. He said, if you see somebody come in with this fine rings and gold and wearing in fine apparel, don't treat them any different than the filthy man and the poor man. James said, don't do that. It's the natural way that we have preference if we're not careful. A couple of questions that come to mind. Why do I treat this person kindly, and then why do I not treat this person poorly? Why do we do that? You know what the answer is? Selfishness. Selfishness. To get something in return. To make ourselves look better. Now, we like that. We like to. Have you ever noticed if you're around somebody that's always cutting people down, criticizing them? Most of the time, it's their way of lifting themselves up. It never fails. We can always find somebody over here that's worse than we are, can't we? Oh, I don't do this and I don't do that. Let me ask you to put Jesus over here. Compare yourself sometime. That's our standard, by the way. That's who we are to compare ourselves to, not each other. It's not a competition. None of these things. It's that we are to be more Christ-like every day. He's our standard. You know what? When I put him over there, ooh, I'm way down the scale. I got a long way to go. James is giving us this illustration of this guy that's coming in. He's rich. He's wearing all the nice stuff, and they're saying, here, let me put you here. Why did he do that? They're thinking about what you can get out of the situation. Woe be to us if that's how we treat people. If we treat one person better than the other because of what they drive, where they live, what they wear, you know what? That is, Christ is not honored to that at all. He gives us a standard, the illustration, but look what the conclusion is to acting this way. Look at the verse, he says, have you not shown partiality among yourselves? You've shown partiality and become, listen to what it says, judges with evil thoughts. He said, you're judging, you're becoming the judge. How many people today, well, you're judging me? How many times do you hear that when you live Christ? Oh, you're judging me. Well, James is saying when we act this way towards other people, we're really becoming the judge. We're saying we're better than you are, or you're better than us, but using the world's standards and not God's standards. You know, it says when we act this way, we are treating people by our standards and not God's. Man's motives are self-seeking and often centered in pride. It's our pride. We become judges. We are to be discerners of the truth, not judges of appearance, okay? Here's my deal. Anybody should be able to wear what they've got in here, right? I don't mean coming in here and half naked. You should be appropriate. But I'm talking about man wants to come in here in overalls or his work clothes. He's dirty. He's been working. He should be no different than a man that comes in wearing a big suit. We treat him the same. Why? Because in Jesus' name, that's how God sees him, the same as everybody. When we do this, when we treat people differently, we're guilty of social discrimination. We should never discriminate against anybody, should we? Well, that's seeing others through man's motives. Let's go on. Seeing others through God's purposes. This helps us. Not to see it through man's motive, how man looks at the world. Why do you think all our advertisements? Look, think about our advertisement, how it shows us how, just how, I'm trying to think of a word. We're just so little. Think about what they use. They use, trying to sell a hamburger with some woman coming across eating a hamburger, like that's going to appeal, make me want to go eat a hamburger. I mean, think about it. They think a party, always people having so much fun and all these kind of things, and that shows us just how little we are and the standards that we set to think that that's what happiness is or that's what makes us fulfilled. You can look at your commercials and advertisements, magazines, TV, and all these things that appeals to the flesh. But we need to see things, others through God's purposes. Listen to what it says, 5-7. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name in which you were called? James is saying, hey, has God not used the poor things of this world, he's saying? I want you to think about this season and what it stands. What are we celebrating? Christ's birthday. How did he come? You see the little manger scene out there beside my house. How did he come? He came in a food trough. He came in, that's his bed. He came to poor people that didn't even have enough to offer. I had to offer a dove for him at the end because they couldn't afford a lamb or a goat. He came in that way. That's how Jesus came. Why did Jesus come that way? So he could relate to all of us. He could have came in the ivory palaces. He could have been laid on the softest beds, but he chose to relate to ever the common man. Aren't you glad? James is saying right here, look around. Has God not chosen the poor of this world? He's talking to the church. Look around, he's saying. I grew up poor, didn't know it. In fact, we were so poor as I was poor. You couldn't put the O-R on it. I didn't know it. You know what we're talking about, that? We didn't know no better. We'd go out, and Mom would put us outside to play, and I had four sisters. We'd go out, have a bicycle that didn't have a chain on it, didn't have no tires on it. We just pushed each other around on the rim. We were happy. We didn't know no better. I'm so glad that I didn't. Because you don't have to have all these things of the world today to make you successful. James is saying, man, God's chosen the poor of this world, look, to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. You know what I am? I'm a child of the King. If you are too, if you've got Christ in your heart, it might not matter what you've got in your bank account, but you know what? Jesus is not looking at your bank account. He's looking at your heart today. And if you got him, you're rich beyond measure. Because one of these days, all this is just going to burn and be gone. All the things that we put so much effort, so much time into, if we're not careful, that's what we base all our success, all the things that we're doing on, and it'll be gone one of these days, and the only thing that will stand will be Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to be important. We need to keep that in mind. Seeing others through God's purposes. I love Matthew 5, says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about being poor in wealth, but an attitude. It's an attitude. Does that mean we should go out here and sell everything we got and go live in a cave? That's not what I'm saying. Okay? If God's blessed you financially, that's something to give him praise for. It's not something for you to put your self-worth in. It's not something for you to find your security in. I'm not saying go out here and sell everything you got and be poor. I'm saying sell out to Christ and allow him to have everything you got because it's his anyway. It's his. It's his. Have you ever heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves? We think that's in the Bible, by the way, it's not. Show me scripture and verse. God helps those who help themselves. If we're not careful, that's really going contrary to what all scripture's saying, is it not? In fact, we didn't do anything to deserve the grace of God. We didn't work. He didn't look down and say, oh, that Dave, he'll make a good Christian one of these days. He didn't do that. In fact, and we'll talk about this in a minute, when we were enemies against God, Christ died for us is what the Scripture says. It's not a matter of, yes, God helps those who help themselves, so that's putting you in on the throne again. You're doing it. You're working. You don't earn God's salvation. You don't earn his love. When I understood something, when I tell you, I don't remember when it was, but when I understood that love, the love of God, I couldn't do more to earn more of it. And I couldn't do less to lose any of it. Think about that, please, for a minute. I don't have to work to earn his love. I work because he does love me. There's a big difference there. I can't do something to make him love me less. He loves me completely this morning. And he loves you. I love our candles. The first candle of the Advent was the candle of hope. Our second is the candle of preparation. We are to prepare ourselves. What? Christ is coming. He's come one time, but guess what? That preparation, he's coming again. Just like he did the first time, he's coming back one of these days. He's not going to be a child in the manger when he comes back the next time. He's riding a white horse. The crown of victory is going to be on his head. We are to be prepared for that. Yes, the baby came, but the baby grew into a man and died on the cross. And they buried him, and he rose again the third day. And he's making intercession for us at the right hand of the Father right now. Seeing people, you know, God's purpose in our life is to be exalted. If we're apart from him, you know what? Our purpose is to exalt ourselves. God's purpose is to be exalted in your life. Are you exalting God in your life? Are you exalting him, or are you exalting yourself? Something for us to think about. We'll come back to that. why do we look down on certain people? Let me ask you that question. Why do we look down on certain people? Why do we gossip about people having trouble? Why do we highlight the negative about each other? You know what we're doing? We're just trying to exalt ourselves. That's it. And when we treat others wrong, verse 7, we blaspheme. Do they not blaspheme, talking about the people that is dragging, the people that have put their self-worth and their value of the things that they had, not who they had? He said, are they not blaspheming that noble name? When we do that, we blaspheme God's name when we put our trust in other things, when we cut our brothers and sisters in Christ down, when we talk about others, when we gossip, we're blaspheming God. That's how, boy, that's pretty important, ain't it? Don't tell me that you love Jesus when you can't even talk to your own family members. Don't tell me that. You got somebody, I can't talk to this one, I can't talk to that one. Show me that scripture and verse, please. It's not there. Don't tell me you love Jesus when you can't even get over the penny-anny little old things that we go through here on this earth. Give it to the Lord. Time's too short. And one of these days it's over and you're looking back and say, how foolish is that to be that way? Love Jesus and love others. Well, that's seeing others through man's motives, seeing others through God's purposes, and then seeing others through Christ or Jesus' commandments. Look at 8 through 11. It said, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. What is he saying here? When we treat others wrong, we're violating God's word. We feel pretty good. You know, I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery on my wife. But when I lie, I cheat, I steal, and I gossip, Jesus is that God's saying, you know what? You're a transgressor of the law. We're the ones, you know what we do? We categorize people, and we categorize sin. Come on, if we're true today. We say, you know what? This is not that bad a sin. It's all right for me to cheat on my taxes because Uncle Sam's getting all these things anyway. We rationalize what we do. As long as it's not murdering anybody, it's not doing these bigger things. James is saying, if you commit one thing, you've committed it all. That's tough. That's tough this morning. John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The commandment of Jesus and the royal law is to love God and love others. That's it. And when we fulfill that, when we have this commandment, when we have this love of Christ in our heart, we love one another. Does that mean we're always going to get along? In fact, I get so aggravated sometimes, say, I don't like them, but I love them. You know what I'm saying? You have times that we don't always see eye to eye about everything. That's not what he's saying. He's saying there's something so much greater than that, and that's the love of Christ that motivates us to see that there's a purpose higher than just the here and now and just the world standards. There's a purpose that far out exceeds that, in that the Christ, the Savior, has come. Be prepared. Be prepared for his second coming. Love each other. Love one another. Here's the deal. What's the harm in talking to people I like and not talking to those I don't? What's the harm in that? What's the problem with staying away from different or weird people? We categorize. Oh, they're different. Oh, they're a little different. What's the harm in criticizing others? It's not living as Jesus commanded us to live. That's what the problem is. It's not loving my brothers and sisters. It's breaking his commandments, and it's like committing adultery or being a murderer. You say, that's harsh. That's what the scriptures are saying this morning and telling us. It's making the judges of ourselves and jury, and the jury, by living in impartiality towards certain people. It's saying we are the standard. That's what it's saying. We're the standard. We judge everything else by how it matches up to the way we live or the way we act or the way that we think. ministry to others is serious business, is it not? Serious business. Because it says, you know what? If we don't treat others that way, you become a transgressor of the law, a breaker of the law. Seeing a man through God, seeing people through man's motives, seeing others through God's purposes, seeing others through Jesus' commandments. But last, this is the one that really gets us, is seeing others through God's mercy. Look at verses 12 and 13. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm going to ask you, what did you do to deserve salvation? Nothing. How did you earn God's grace? Nothing. You know what the script, in fact, Romans 6:23 says, we earned what? Death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We earned death. That was what we earned. And yet, what did God do? He birthed us into the kingdom. I want you to think about this. When Nicodemus goes to Jesus in John chapter 3, and he's talking to Jesus secretly, remember what did Jesus say? You must be what? Born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. You must be born again. In 1962, James and Barbara Cooper had a son. His name was David. David Cooper. That's me. I didn't do anything. I didn't promise them before I came that I'd be a good son or that I'd be a bad son. What did I do for me to be birthed by James and Barbara Cooper? What did I do? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. February 28, 1990, on a Wednesday night, I was birthed into the kingdom of God on that Wednesday night. What did I do to deserve that? Absolutely nothing. It was the grace of God that opened my eyes, that my need of, as a sinner, that I needed Jesus Christ, that I had been looking for it all my life and didn't even know it. That was trying everything. We don't do anything to deserve what God has given us. Nothing. So that should make us what? Should make us very humble. Should make us very loving. Born again. You must be born again. How am I born? How am I born again? You just receive what God has already done for you. You allow the Holy Spirit to show you that that is what you need. You allow God to do the work in your heart. And you're obedient. None of us is worthy. And here's the deal. The next time you're snubbing somebody, think about while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're snubbing somebody. Here's the deal. That old song, the ground is what? Level. Where? At the foot of the cross. The ground is level. You know what? Nobody stands above anybody else. The ground is completely level. That means for all men and boys, men and women, boys and girls, everybody comes the same, and the ground's level, and he welcomes open, and he opens his arm to receive everybody. Whosoever will, it says, let him come. Who's the whosoever will? Everybody. There's nobody that God doesn't love and he can't reach. Oh, maybe that religious group that are doing all these heinous things that you allow a hatred in your heart. You know what they need? Jesus. He died for them also. Jesus, that little simple Sunday school with the kids when you ask them a question and they don't know what the answer is. Jesus. That's what they'll say. Look, you'll ask them a question. Jesus. Bless their heart. They know better than we do. It's the answer to everything. I'm telling you. It's the answer to everything. You came in here this morning, you might be heavy laden, you might be going through the worst time of your life, and for some reason God brought you here, the answer is Jesus to your problems this morning. You might be out, your marriage might be on the teeter-totter and coming apart. You might have a child that's way away, and you're wondering how in the world is God ever going to get a hold of them. The answer is Jesus this morning. It's Christ. It's being prepared to receive that which he has for you. I don't know what it is that you're going through, but I know one that does. And he's calling for you to come this morning. You're not here by coincidence, by the way. He's calling for you to come and receive him if you've never received him as your Savior. The greatest thing you'll ever do is walk an aisle and say, you know what? This morning God's shown me know what my answer, and I've lived a life that's been looking for something and for purpose, and this morning through the Holy Spirit, He's revealed what that was. His name is Jesus. None of this is worthy. The next time, when you see a brother or sister in Christ, don't see their faults and shortcomings, but see the mercy of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we're to look at people. Now listen to this. When you see a lost person, do not see their sinfulness and behavior, but see someone that Jesus was willing to die for. Look at people through the eyes of Christ. It'll keep us from being impartial, by the way. See people through God's mercy. How infinite is God's mercy? Well, I'm looking at a whole group of people right here. A whole group of people that was touched by God's mercy. Should we not be more merciful? Should we not see people the way that God sees them? What applications in what we done? Number one, be honest before God this morning. How do you treat people? Listen, I want us to think about that for just a moment. Are you that person that criticizes? Do you see the negative in everybody? Are you a gossiper that you just sit around and talk about people? You run them down all the time. How do you treat people? Very important for us to come face to face with that today. Number two, do you spend more time exalting God or exalting yourself? Is it about the Lord in your life? Everything that you do, do you bring glory to God? I don't care what it is. You could be a child in school. You could be a person that were at work, and every good thing you can bring glory to God through it. Do you exalt Him or do you exalt yourself? And then lastly, do you really understand the mercy of God in your own life? The Scripture tells us when we were yet sinners, Christ died for each and every one of us. He didn't look down and see you as a good person. He saw you as a sinner and an enemy of God, spitting in His face, and that's when He went to the cross for you and for me. That's mercy, is it not? That's grace, unmerited favor that He bestowed the grace of God upon us. If we're His children, we should sing His praises every day. I don't care what you face. Grace and mercy will be the thing that stands for eternity when all else has failed and gone. How is it that you look and how is it that you see people? What about you today? Have you ever received Christ? Is Christ a part of your life? Do you know that if He would return right now or you didn't make it home, by the way, there's no guarantee of us making it home today, that you would go to be with Him and stand before Him or grovel before Him only because the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life and repentance has came into your life and that you can go back and say that's where it started. You know what? Because there was a time when I was 22 years old that I went into a Baptist church. I'd never experienced a Baptist church. Remember I told you I never grew up in one. Never grew up in a church home. Wasn't religious. Didn't come from a religious background. So I had this girl, you know, you date this girl, so you got to follow her wherever she wants to go, right? And I go into a Baptist church, and they're preaching the message of Jesus Christ and what He done. And it's like, that's the first time I ever heard it. 22 years old, by the way. That's the South. Man, that's when I was 22. That's been a long while ago, okay? But I heard Jesus. I heard about Jesus, and He was talking about Him being a sinner. And at the end of it, I knew something, you know, I knew I'd been searching. I went forward and I said, I'm a sinner. You know what? I got down and I said, Lord, forgive me. You know what happened? I went up and did everything with my mind. It didn't change my life. I went back out in the world doing everything the world had to offer. Nothing had changed until that night, February 28, 1990. You can have made a profession of faith when you were little, big. If your life is not changed and you're not living a life that came in repentance and God came into your life, that you can look back and say, this is when God changed my life. Not perfect. I'm not talking about being perfect. But let me tell you, when Christ comes in, you know the difference. I'm not talking about a mind understanding. We're here in the South and we're here in a Baptist church. Everybody's heard it a million times. Maybe you've went through the motions. I'm talking about a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ when He has entered in and made a difference in your life. That's what I'm talking about. Man, don't leave here. morning without that. Let's have our invitation line to come forward.
I want you to ask yourself today, this message is just not given out for no reason. Somebody, we all do, by the way, I need to hear it about being impartial to people. I don't need to play favorites to anybody. What is it that God has said to you this morning, and then act in obedience to whatever it is that He has told you? Has He pricked your heart about a relationship that you need to renew, that you haven't been talking to somebody, you haven't forgiven somebody? Oh, you've said you've forgiven them, but your life's not living it out. Is He talking to somebody that you know you're living in sin, and you've called yourself a child of God for a long time, but you know that you're living a sinful lifestyle and you need to make it right? Is He talking to somebody that's never received Jesus as their personal Savior? You know repentance never comes. Whatever He's telling you, I want you to think about it and act on that this morning. That's truly being prepared for Him coming back again. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet and bow our heads for just a minute as they're playing. Before we start singing, I want us to think a minute, do business with God. Nobody's looking around, just you and God. What is it Lord's telling you to do this morning? You need to come forward and receive Christ. Come right now. Don't even think about it. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you need Christ, come forward and receive Christ this morning. If you need to come and make something right, you know in your heart, God's shown you, this is what I need to make right. Come and make it right this morning. If you know you're an impartial person, a gossiper, if you know you're that type of person, if you're negative about everything, come forward and make it right this morning. We're getting ready to sing our hymnal, and the altar's open to all of you that would come and be obedient to the Lord. Let's sing. You can open your eyes now.
Just as I am.
Show you, just look, you've got to be intentional about loving them and planting the seed of the gospel.